Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We continue our march on trying to see how the industry and the global economy is normalizing post-pandemic. We're looking at some statistics coming in from Statista, for instance, where over $700 billion are expected to be gained just this year alone from an increase of $300 billion last year in terms of leisure travel. And of course, business travel, we've seen that happening quite extensively since last year. And this year, a lot of expectations are on the resumption of travel to be returning, if not back to the pre-pandemic levels, perhaps even more than that, back in 2019 levels and beyond. Because of this, we have the pleasure of inviting Andrik Katsalz, the Regional Vice President of South Asia and Oceania for Agoda, here to unpack the travel industry and the hoteling industry at large. Andrik, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me.
You are traveling extensively to do your work as well. Let's do a quick recap into how Agoda has, weathered through the COVID period and how you guys are now returning back to normal.
Yeah, should I talk a little bit about Agoda, where we come from? Because Malaysia and Agoda actually have a love relation. Malaysians love Agoda, and we definitely love Malaysia. But maybe there is some facts about Agoda not known. So Agoda is one of the largest tech companies in Southeast Asia. It was founded in 2005, so by no means we're a new company. We're an established company. And today we employ more than 6,000 people in more than 30 offices in five continents. We're part of Booking Holdings, travel tech conglomerate.
This is Booking.com?
Booking Holdings. Booking Holdings is a conglomerate, and Booking.com is one of the brands. Agoda is another brand, and there is other brands like Kayak or Priceline. So we're part of Booking Holdings. And what we do, as you said, we're in the business of travel. We are an OTA, that stands for Online Travel Agency. So what we do is we cater to the needs of the traveler. So we use tech to offer accommodations, flights, or attractions, or things to do. And we are now back from the COVID times. It is true that it's during COVID things were difficult. But now we see different trends impacting the industry, and all of them are very positive trends. Let me talk about three trends that we see. The first one I would say is, like, we call it revenge travel. So we've been locked for quite some time in our homes, but people was eager to travel. I mean, people keep this energy to travel and discover the world. And now we're seeing a boom of traveling. We saw that already during COVID. We saw that each time restrictions were lifted a little bit, there was mini booms of traveling. And now that restrictions are really lifted, this boom is continuing. No, like we see in several of our Southeast Asian destinations, we see the domestic market be very vibrant, and in some places it's even four times larger than in 2019, and 2019 was a great year. So revenge travel is here, it's happening, and for me it talks about who we are as a citizens of the 21st century, because I think traveling has become an essential need of the 21st century traveler or citizen.
Okay, yeah? You're talking about three trends. Revenge travel is one of them.
Yeah, the second one is the return of international travel.
Okay.
Yeah, we started in US, then Europe, then APAC was the last one. We started in Southeast Asia, then Korea, Japan, and now the last one is China that is opening. And this, we see that coming back in most of our Southeast Asian, on the biggest Southeast Asian destinations, we are already at higher levels of international travelers than in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's great. So. And we expect this trend to accelerate as some of the bottlenecks get lifted. For example, the biggest bottleneck still today is the airline capacity. But as airlines start going to the same level of capacity they had in 2019, we expect international travel to even accelerate further.
Okay, and the third trend?
The third one is the one that I'm more proud of, because I think Agoda has played a very important role on this one. So, you know, Southeast Asia has always, in the travel industry, has been always a destination powerhouse. It has incredible assets. There's Bali, there's Langkawi, Boracay, Singapore, Bangkok, Phuket, Siem Reap, you name it. So traditionally it has been a destination place. But more and more what we see is Southeast Asians being the travelers. The share of Southeast Asians traveling is increasing every day. Like starting by traveling domestically, then within Southeast Asia, the intra-travel in Southeast Asia, and even further, going to North Asia, like the Japan, Korea, Australia, India, Europe. Southeast Asia is now an origin. And I'm excited because I think the work we've done in Agoda, democratizing travel, making it accessible to everybody, has been instrumental in this. And what makes me very excited about it is that we're sitting in a region that has 600 million people, more than 600 million people. That's bigger than Europe. So this is just the beginning of a big movement, and this is a great opportunity.
You know, you've just unpacked so many questions for me. Let's start with the difference between leisure travel versus business travel. My suspicion, and please correct my thesis, I suppose, is that business traveling has reduced because people are getting used to working online. We're looking at boomers and Gen Z and Gen X are trying to get comfortable and is now already comfortable with doing meetings, business deals, even mergers and acquisitions done online. That's my thesis. Is that correct, or still we're looking at very high levels of business travel?
So what is true is that the one that is driving the current boom on traveling is leisure traveling. Mm. We see leisure traveling has recovered faster than any other forms of traveling. Business traveling will take some more time to recover. We still don't know how.
Do you feel that it will never recover, or whatever that we see at this level, this is the I guess.
No, I think it will. It will continue to recover. I'll tell you one thing. I manage a big region. I have offices in Southeast Asia and Oceania. So the first thing I did when the restrictions were lifted was to travel to all these places. There was a lot of people that I have not seen
Strange,
in
because
2 years.
Your work sounds like leisure, but it's actually work for you.
It's work, yeah. So what I did is to travel to all these places and reconnect with the people. And I can tell you, nothing replaces face-to-face.
Okay.
Yeah, like the connections, the empathy that you have when you talk face to face, like we're talking right now, that's unique. Yeah. So it is true that technology and Zoom calls are an important part, and this is going to be part of how we communicate and how do we do business going forward. But I think nothing replaces face-to-face communication.
And then, of course, with leisure travel, consistent with the third trend that you have in terms of size, Asians themselves, ourselves, being travelers ourselves, do you feel that that is just going to grow even further? And what about family-related travel with kids, for instance, or extended family with grandpa and grandma, for instance? Do you feel that that is going up as well?
So thanks for this question, because we recently ran a survey to understand trends, and we definitely identified two very important trends. One was family travel. Yeah. So in Malaysia, specifically for Malaysia, 4 out of 5 travelers expect to do a trip with their families this year. And 1/3 of the travelers expect to do 2 or more trips this year with the family. And half of them expect to do a trip, not only with the family, with the immediate family, but with the extended family. Mm. And this is because...
This is cousins, grandpa, grandma.
Exactly. And what happens is, for the last 2 years, we stopped traveling, we stopped reconnecting with some relatives that were not living in the same location, and we stopped building memories with our families, and people want to reconnect and have those memories, yeah? The memories of the trips that they're doing, so that's why they want to travel with the families.
Also, some of us have lost members during the pandemic.
That's correct.
And you know, to see what we have left, I think that is also that there is a sense of urgency to reconnect. I'm talking out of experience.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah,
but it's true. Yeah, you know, we take for granted our family, extended family members. Yes. So that's an area of concern, I guess, for many. Do you feel that that is an idea?
Yes, no, it's definitely part of the extended family traveling. You want to have like, but it's not only about the people that we lose. I'm a father. I have two kids, and my two kids 2 years ago are very different from my two kids now. Like, and it's, there's a sense of loss that I did not harness memories of those instances. No?
Yeah.
So it's all.
Okay. What about the survey that you ran, or Agoda ran? What does it say in terms of destination? Is it still within Southeast Asia, for instance, or do you feel that the travel intent is covering globally instead?
For Southeast Asians,
yeah.
Or
for Southeast Asians?
For Southeast Asians, that's what they were saying. Like Southeast Asians traditionally has been a very domestic type of traveler, let me talk about Malaysia, because Malaysia is an incredible domestic market. It's after Australia, and Australia there is a reason, because it's far, it's huge, but that's so far, no? So it's
far from everybody else.
Far from everywhere else. Yeah. So it's normal for them to travel domestically.
Yeah.
But Malaysians love Malaysia. They love to travel in Malaysia. So the Malaysian domestic market is huge. Sometimes when with my colleagues we review the data about Malaysia, people cannot believe that such a big domestic market exists in a country like Malaysia. And it's because Malaysians love to travel in Malaysian destinations. But then after this, Malaysia is also a great place for Southeast Asians to travel. Malaysia in a good year get more than 20 million visitors, which is a lot of visitors. It's one of the top destinations in Asia. Yeah, part of it is this triangle made of Thailand, Singapore, and Indonesia. This is one of the, this triangle works very well for Malaysia, and where Malaysia gets most of the travelers.
Mm.
Now, the next frontier for Malaysia is beyond that. Yeah, Malaysia has incredible assets. Yeah, Malaysia has natural and cultural assets, has like nice beaches like in Langkawi, has great mountains like Kinabalu, great diving sites. I want to go to Sipadan. The jungles of Borneo and cultural, well, have vibrant cities like KL, or historical sites like Malacca. So it has everything that is needed to be a global top destination. Yeah, and I think that's the next opportunity for Malaysia. And I'm saying this being Spanish, and Spain is one of the most visited countries on the planet, normally ranked on the top three. I think Malaysia has no excuse not to be one also of the top global destinations.
Yeah? Another thesis that on the test is the idea of global recognition. When I went to Barcelona very recently, and when I tell the people there that I'm from Malaysia, they tend to get the idea of where we are on the map. But when I, you know, use the words Thailand, Singapore, Indonesia, suddenly everybody knows everybody. So why do you feel that global recognition is still visible for these three countries, but Malaysia is still yet to be recognized to that level?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. I think Malaysia has the right to be recognized even more than some of these destinations. As I said, it has all the assets and all the things that can inspire to be a great touristical destination. And I think it's a great opportunity. And one of the things we have in Agoda is we were sort of, I would say, experts in Malaysia, given our size and our love for Malaysians. And we can help here, because we are in constant communication with travelers around the world. There's millions of people coming to our app every day. So we can help. We're definitely here to help and help to position Malaysia with the global community, because it is true. Malaysia is a powerhouse, but it's a powerhouse, it's a more of a Asian powerhouse, if you want it.
All right, we need to talk about the enablers or the challenges in order for us to achieve these kind of ideas. One of the items that you spoke of just now was airline capacity. I find that interesting because, in a way, strange as well, because we've seen how airlines had to scale back during the pandemic years. They had to retrench, or they had to put some of their staff on furlough. But now they are back in full swing. They are hiring now. And low-cost travel has never been low cost more than ever now than as opposed to the pre-pandemic days. Airlines like Scoot, like Air Asia, and many more have already traveled to these kind of destinations that you speak of. You know, Siem Reap, Bali, Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, Phuket, many more, right? Jakarta even. But why do you feel there is a constriction in terms of capacity for airline to carry these travelers now?
Airlines were brought to a halt for 2 years, and recover the capacity takes time. So for us, as a tech company, it's very easy. We can move very, very quickly, very fast. But when it comes to big capital expenditures, it takes more time to deliver, and they need plan in advance. So I think
like literally buying planes, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't take one day to build a plane.
Yeah.
So that there is a bottleneck on that. It's not only about buying new planes. It's about taking the existing planes and making operative.
Yeah.
And the other one is the staff. Many people has find different jobs in different industries. Yeah. So now they need to train new people to be able to operate their fleets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this takes time. Yeah. We demand is impatient. So demand is traveling already. They want to explore the world, but supply takes time. Supply it's tied to different cycles.
Because of this, there is a problem in terms of the hoteling industry, the transport industry, basically just, you know, for instance, hotels and the tourist places. They are depriving possible potential revenue. Do you feel that is a big problem for this industry?
So.
When the industry can travel a lot more,
yeah.
But to get there is a problem.
So let's talk about what's happening, contextualize like the current situation, because it is true we do have high inflation, prices are going up.
Yeah.
As you said, airlines are constrained, and price of oil is also increasing, so prices of flying are pretty expensive. There is interest rates going up, real estate prices going up, that's putting pressure in hotels. At the same time, during COVID, several hotels went out of business.
Yeah.
So the whole infrastructure is not there. The demand is there, supply is not there. You know economics, what happens when there is more demand than supply, prices go up.
Yeah.
And what we see is that despite prices go up, the demand is very inelastic. So continuously strong crave for traveling.
Yeah.
We don't see people affected by that. But what we see, which is very interesting, is the price elasticity has increased a lot. So people is more price conscious. People is in search for good deals. Yeah, and that actually plays to Agoda's strength, because if there's something that Agoda is famous for, is by providing good deals. So we are definitely helping here.
So this supports the two big trends that you mentioned earlier, which is revenge travel and international travel.
Correct.
Because of this whole search for best deals and very price-sensitive consumers, do you feel that this is pushing towards the growth of, say, solo traveling or budget traveling or price-conscious traveling and what have you, instead of, say, for instance, you know, luxury travel or experiential travel or honeymoon travel? I don't know how to classify these things, but you know, that is one frame of mind. Another one is this whole budget. Let's just get ourselves there and then, you know, bootstrap.
Yeah, I think people, what they want now is experiences. Mm. Yeah, and however they travel, with solo, with the families, of more of a luxury trip or more, it's unchanged. So what they want is to have experiences and to fill the gaps for the last 2 years.
It's unbelievable, because I was seeing somebody, and what we did was during Christmas all the way until the second week of January, we just took a train all the way to Thailand, flew to Vietnam. All this, it was just bootstrapping. It was really low cost traveling, but at the same time, I've never done this thing before in my life. And the whole purpose of this was that whole idea of trying to find experiential travel. Agoda was one of the many solutions that I'm trying to find in terms of, you know, finding the best solutions. But price-conscious people like me, we're very attuned to which sites give us the best? And you know, some of the solutions that we used were not sensitive towards what the provider was, either Agoda or Booking or Hotels.com or you know Trivago or anything, or Kayak or Skyscanner for us to find tickets. How do you stay on top of your competitors, considering that there are people like me that we really don't care, we have no affinity, we don't have, we have no hate, but we have no affinity towards online travel agents like yourselves?
So that is a very good question. So let me talk about what makes Agoda unique in that sense and why we're able to provide those deals. So we are we like to say we're a tech first company. Or some people says we are a tech company that happens to be in trouble. So what we do, how do we do is we do have partnerships with a lot of accommodations. Now in Agoda you can find more than 3 million accommodations globally. And we do have very strong partnerships that date back to almost 2 decades. So because we have these partnerships and we've been collaborating with these properties for quite some time, they often have great deals with us. It's part of this strong partnership. And at the same time, we have AI and machine learning powered marketing that helps our partners to find the right customers at the right time with the right deal. And on top of this, we do have 1,000 IT engineers that every day are constantly optimizing, constantly experimenting. Tech is an industry that experiments a lot and try new things in real time, and constantly try new innovations to help consumers find the deals. And that's what makes Agoda unique, and that's what makes us able to often, or most of the times, provide a great deal to the customer.
Very recently, I spoke with Airbnb policy head of Southeast Asia. She was mentioning that there's a lot of ideas for experiential travel, but companies like Airbnb, for instance, have to deal with regulatory issues from various countries for good reason, because they're not hiring, you know, they're not partnering with hotels, they're partnering with individuals or companies that offer these kind of services. Do you get into that need for you to deal with regulatory requirements the way, say, for instance, Airbnb does?
So we operate globally. We operate in almost all the countries globally. So wherever we go, we have to follow the local regulations, and we do that. We do that. What we don't do is to lobby and try to do policy or anything. We stay out of it. What we do is we follow the regulations. We try to use whatever framework is provided in each country. We adapt to that framework, and then we continue help partners and consumers get the best deals.
So what you're doing for Agoda is trying to improve on the proposition that you have for your clients or potential clients. In this case, trying to get IT engineers, AI, machine learning, and all that. But there is also that whole knock-on effect on the Booking Group, because some of the properties or brands inside the Booking Group does offer the same things that you do. So how do you manage cannibalism in this respect?
I would say we're part of the online travel industry. It's an industry that is global by nature. So not because you are in Malaysia, you should focus only on Malaysia. Not because you are in Thailand, you should focus only in Thailand. We need to offer good deals wherever you want to go. You want to go to Bhutan? Well, we need to offer you. Bhutan is an amazing place.
It's interesting that you mention it, because those are the kind of bucket lists that I want to hit.
I can tell you a lot about destinations. I'm an avid traveler. I have a goal of reaching 100 different countries visited, and I'm not far from that goal. But okay, coming to the point is we are a global by nature, so we need to be able to provide the best deals wherever you want to go. So in the areas in which we are more experts, this is us. We do provide those deals. We have these strong partnerships with the local players. and the local partners. But if you have to provide globally, if you want to go to Uruguay, just to choose one that is pretty far from here, you want to Uruguay, and for some reason we do not have the best partnerships in Uruguay, then we partner with other OTAs, other agencies, other partners, other suppliers.
Within the booking group, or it can be anybody?
It can be within the booking group or different types of partnerships. But what we cannot be is that you want to go to Uruguay and we cannot give you a great deal.
Oh.
Yeah. So that shouldn't happen. So that's why we have a network of partnerships all over the world to be able to serve the needs of all the travelers.
What about profit sharing or revenue sharing? Everything is done automatically, I suppose, or?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And everything is real time, I suppose, because, you know, we're talking millions of transactions per day.
Yeah, so that's part of what tech offers, no? Like one of the things we do is we are very nimble, very fast. We can listen at the needs of the customer very quickly, act fast, experiment. So, for example, like what happens during COVID? Yeah. So during COVID, the travel industry suddenly, I wouldn't say evaporate, but change significantly. It was a totally different. Many companies could not react. They didn't know what to do. But we were lucky in the sense that we listened constantly every day. Not every month, but every day, every hour, every minute, every second to our customers and to our partners. And then we start detecting trends, patterns. We start listening at them and understanding what they were telling us. And we developed four strategies, or we launched four products that help us navigate the difficult times of COVID and help not only us, but also our partners and our customers navigate those times. For example, one of them was we hear that given the uncertainty, consumers wanted flexibility on their bookings. So we developed Easy Cancel, which was a way for partners to offer reasonable cancellation policies to the travelers. The other one is we see that what the customers wanted was to travel around. They could not fly to faraway places, but they could take a car and drive for 2 hours. So we launched Go Local, which was a way to promote local destinations. Yeah. Another thing we saw is the rise of what is called staycations. So at the end of the day, you spend all the time in your staycations. Yeah?
Yeah.
So you spend all the time in four walls. So you want to change your environment, no? where you are all the day. So the hotel becomes the destination itself.
Mm.
It's not a place you stay to visit somewhere else. Mm. No, it's a place you want to stay.
And then, of course, everything else, the journey is the
exactly.
fun part.
And for that, what we did is to create one product named Agoda Special Offers, by which help the partners promote all the other ancillary services, ancillary things that they had, like spas, like F&B, like the most premium rooms. So we did that. And the last one, which is something I'm very proud of because it was created here in Malaysia, talking to Malaysian partners, and then it was scaled to the world, was one product named Bags to Go. Yeah, mm. When the vaccination was already ready and people was getting vaccinated, if you think you put yourself in the shoes of an hotel, yeah, suddenly you can have an outbreak either because some of your customers got COVID or some of your staff got COVID.
Mm.
And that's very dangerous for an hotel because if your staff got COVID, you almost need to bring your operation at a halt.
Mm.
Yeah, so many hotels were not opening because they were afraid of that
yeah,
situation.
Of the risk.
And what we did is to minimize that risk by allowing the hotels to offer specific deals for travelers that were vaccinated.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was our conversation with Enric Casals, the Regional Vice President of Asia and Oceania of Agoda. We had so much fun talking to him. We'll definitely bring him back for the following episode. For now, my name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.